Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you on this party Friday by AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. It is a great party Friday, Chuck. I just wrote down, before we get to Priscilla Ron, all the great things. Netflix is down about $50 billion and tens of thousands of subscribers. Spotify canceled the Obamas. CNN Plus is canceled. DeSantis signed the SmackDown Disney bill. It looks like Marjorie Taylor Greene is kind of kicking butt in a courtroom in Florida, where they're questioning her about whether she stole lines from Independence Day, the movie. It's like, it's a party Friday.
I'd like to introduce a good friend, the vice chair of the Republican Party, Priscilla Rahm. She's always been a grassroots people. We don't always agree on everything, but you never do. Priscilla, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Chuck and Julie, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, the one thing you've been since the day you got elected vice chair is an advocate for getting the minority community involved with Republicans. And it's not been easy. I can remember when I was on the executive committee, asked for Stockholm, and I kind of led the charge to get you money, which KBB, in her infinite wisdom, squashed. But I understand you've got an event coming up, which is exciting. Tell us about it.
Sure. Tomorrow, Saturday, starting at 8:30, in partnership with Heritage Foundation, we're having our Empowering Pastors and Parents Conference. We are wanting to get our religious community, especially the Black and Hispanic community religious leaders, together to talk about how we can better educate our children and get involved in civic organizations. And so we want to invite parents who are concerned about the things that they're seeing being taught in our schools, the indoctrination, the sexual grooming, CRT, those types of radical ideologies that are perpetrating into our schools. But we also want to make sure our conservative values are being represented in all areas of government. So that's why we're bringing together specifically pastors and parents for our conference tomorrow.
Give us a little bit of the details. You said 8:30, where and when, and how do people get tickets?
So 8:30 tomorrow at Highline Community Church. That's 6160 South Wabash Way in Greenwood Village. We're feeding you breakfast from 8:30 to 9.
All right.
And
Pastor Chuck may come.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. May come, and we're feeding you lunch.
Wow.
So it's a free event. If you would like to come, please email Terris Todd, and the email address is terris.todd, T-O-D-D, at heritage.org.
Okay.
Or you can email me at Priscilla at C-O-L-O-G. op.org.
Well, and you know where else I saw it? Both on Facebook. You've got it on your Facebook page.
Yes.
I know Jeff Hunt from the Colorado Christian College has it on his Facebook page. So yeah. And also I wrote that down, guys, so you can also just text me and I will tell you. You know, let me ask you this. One of the things I think you guys are kind of hitting two key things here. You know, Tom Tancredo has long said that Republicans for a while were afraid of reaching out to the, because they didn't want to be called extreme, to some of the religious organizations. And he said that can be kind of like our equivalent of some of the groups the Democrats have working for them. So that's great you're doing that. And I know.
Well, Tom and Priscilla have a similarity in that Tom was a teacher
right.
in the school system and Priscilla is now. So they know what they're talking about.
Absolutely. You know, what I'm experiencing as a teacher is very alarming. And I know we've talked about this many, many times, and we just can't be asleep. We can't be passive when it comes to the future of our children. There are attacks. We were talking recently about what's going on with Disney and right. Governor DeSantis. We cannot sit back and allow our children to be manipulated and be controlled by ideology that's damaging to them. And so it's time for us to do this in a very civil way. We just need to be educated on what's going on, how to communicate with the school system, and what we can do to get civically involved. There are lots of boards and commissions we can be a part of to get our voices heard.
Well, you know, and I think it's so important when you look at, you know, Rev, we have an 11-year-old in fifth grade, and they just wrapped up what are the CMAS, the statewide testing, right? And it's great. His school is saying, thank all of you guys for participating. It's always one of our goals to be in the top five, I think, percentage of schools in the state for that. And then you look at Denver. This is, you know, the Denver public.
The goal is also the 5%.
5%, but the bottom 5%. And so you've got that kind of thing going on. And we have a friend whose daughter is in fifth grade going through sex ed in Denver. And I can't even use the terms the teachers are using for these kids to use. I mean, this kid someday in polite conversation is going to use some of these terms because this is what they're, I was astonished. She kind of blurted this out at the dinner table and they were like, whoa, you know, I mean, he said, it's a term a grown man I would never even use in a locker room. And he said, yet that's what they were teaching her, but they aren't teaching her to read and write.
No.
Yeah. It's going beyond just health education. Good health education is important. Our bodies are changing. Young people are going through their hormones and changes of life. And we should teach them good hygiene and things like that. But it's actually going way beyond that into inappropriate conversations at inappropriate ages, that we need to empower parents for those conversations and really be careful about what our children are being exposed to too early, because it is damaging to them. And they are, we're seeing a lot of depression. We're seeing a lot of social emotional issues. Children are confused. That's not healthy. So it's something we definitely need to be a part of the conversation about.
Well, these days in particular, I mean, every national survey indicates that Hispanics and in part African-Americans are trending toward the Republican Party. I've never quite figured out why in Colorado the establishment Republicans hate reach out. I mean, you know, they talk about it, but they really dislike it. They almost give no money for it. They make no effort to be involved in the minority community, as Casper Stockholm has come on the show and repeatedly indicated. And maybe it's because they feel like there'll be social conservatives and the establishment, you know, their wonderful wokeness thinks the Democrats are right about all things. But events like yours are incredibly important if the Republicans want to prevail in Colorado, because if they can take the Hispanic vote, they're gonna win their share of races in Colorado.
You're absolutely right, Chuck. Black and Hispanic families trend conservative. They really are conservative at heart. And we have an opportunity here. And we've had a great example with the former President Trump, who was able to garner a lot more minority votes in the last election. Yeah. And so he's an example of the power of outreach into different communities and just being president and being a part of the conversation with them and talking to them about the things that matter to them. And so we're working hard to change that. And our event tomorrow is something that we hope is going to just blossom and grow into the November election.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to give you credit, Priscilla. You know, I think I first met you right after you became the vice chair at a Douglas County event. I mean, you go to these events, right? You don't just plan them and sign off on them. You're at the events and I see you at all kinds of things. I watch your Facebook page, you know, you're all over the place. And I think that's important too, that people want to see when you take time to do it, right? That says to the pastors and that says to the people who are going, the parents are going, hey, this person is listening, this person, it matters. So I think like you and Casper say, you know, the outreach is huge. Particularly, I mean, the Democrats are just giving us every opportunity in the book with their loser policies.
Well, answer.
No, you're right. And I guess I'll do a quick plug that Sunday we have the Law Enforcement Appreciation Day at Douglas County too, where I'll be there. We'll have a booth. You're right. We're going to be everywhere. You are in the community, hearing from people about what matters. And this is an opportunity because the Democrats are not the ones to fix the problems that they created. They created so many problems for everyday people. I'm a teacher. I'm on a teacher's salary. I'm not a millionaire. And so I'm paying attention to the gas pump. I'm paying attention to the groceries. I'm making decisions and I'm making sacrifices so that I can get the word out about the fact that we need to make these changes right now.
And what's one of the amazing things, I mean, Trump is always called a racist and an anti-Semitite, even though his son-in-law is Jewish and everything else. And the establishment of the Republican Party, the Mitch McConnells, are always talking about, well, you know, we'll never appeal to the minority communities with all these racists leading our party. And they found out that, no, actually, Donald Trump's message of pro-America, pro-American jobs.
Good economy,
social conservative views. That's what appeals to all the people who came out to vote for him. They didn't come out to vote for Mitch McConnell. And it's wonderful that you're out there and fighting hard. And I hope they have a lot more events to allow you to utilize your skills and abilities.
Well, thank you. And you know what? They're so silly when they say that Colorado Republicans are racist when they've repeatedly elected Black vice chairs. I mean, there's so many. It's like, it's just such a lie that they accuse us of being racist when we really are doing what we can in order to uplift and promote and make life better for every American. Doesn't matter your skin color. And so I'm proud to be a Republican and a conservative and to represent our party. And we're going to make some great changes this November. I'm excited.
All right, one more time then before we let you go. What about the event tomorrow? Once again, what is it going to be? Free food galore.
Free food. Lunch,
free
dinner.
Free food.
Practically amazing. Being on a cruise, you know.
Amazing speakers. We're flying in K. Carl Smith, who's the founder of Frederick Douglass Republicans. We've got Jeff Hunt from Centennial Institute, Katie Gorka, who's the wife of Sebastian Gorka. So we have a lot of myself. I'll be speaking as well at Highline Community Church tomorrow, starting at 8:30. Come and have free breakfast and coffee and free lunch. And we'll be done around 2:15, 2:30. And you can register at terrace.todd at heritage.org. So Terris, TERRIS.TODD at heritage.org.
All right.
Well, great to see you, Priscilla. Yep. Thanks
great
for coming on.
And good
Thanks
luck tomorrow.
All, you do.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So if you want to go to that, it's Terris, TERRIS.TODD at heritage.org. I think that's good. I mean, Tom Pancrato has long talked about, you know, the Republicans shied away from the church. I mean, it can be kind of like what a Planned Parenthood or Sierra Club.
But why do they? Because they don't belong to those churches. No. They belong to the nice Episcopal church where all those deplorables don't belong. That's why they shy away. They shy away because who they are. And one of the great things that happened down in Colorado Springs is there was the grassroots Republican Party.
Right.
And they are not with the establishment and not with Christy Burton Brown. They're with the average person.
Hey, in this case, it's, Priscilla, if you're still listening, you don't need to come back on, but it just says, hey, people are thanking you on our chat section. And Leo says, you're great. And Sandra says, not only that, everyone should be concerned because the next generation will be running this country. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Scary.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. You know, although again, we've talked.
No, we're not going to let them.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Biden will still be running and same with Nancy Pelosi.
yeah, that's like crazy. You know, so like I said, on this Party Friday, really a lot to be grateful for and to party about. You know, you're watching, but plus inflation, right? So you have all these woke corporations, and it's one thing to be a woke corporation when everybody's got plenty of cash and, you know, doesn't have anything to do with it because they're in lockdown. So you can, you know, watch Disney Plus, you can watch Netflix, but as soon as people have a choice and money gets tight, I mean, we canceled our Netflix, right? Biggest reason was, yes, it was a little bit of politics, but I admit, I was like, there's nothing on. Yeah. I mean, you'd sit there and you're like, no. I'm like, why am I paying for this? Right. Yeah, so I canceled it. But they had like massive losses in their business plan. It's like, well, you're better by 2024.
Yeah, sure.
But you're not going to be, right. I think it's so funny. Spotify canceled the Obamas.
Well, Obamas didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. Right.
I mean, they kind of went, well, what do you mean? We're supposed to work for the $20 million?
I mean, we do three podcasts a week, right?
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Like, we're supposed to do something.
For $20 million, we could do
we're
five.
The Obamas, you know, we just mooch off people.
Yeah. And Jesus. Ron DeSantis, they're all freaking out. He smacked down Disney, took away their special governing and their special tax thing. I love what the legislator said. Disney, you're a guest in our state. You don't run our state. And then again, CNN
but
Plus
then,
canceled.
But then
that's
you always
hilarious.
Have Jenna Ellis said, how dare they do that? the Disney to go, Jenna.
Right,
just,
right.
Just don't say anything.
So yeah, and this is right from Stephen. When did the mission of a corporation change from increasing shareholder wealth and serving their customers to being activists and social justice warriors? Well, you know, that's even
starting
why they
in 2016.
Yeah, that's why they need to start pushing so hard. These global elites, these global corporations, the censorship. Right. It's no coincidence that you have all the former Brennans and the fake intelligence people who swore up and down that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake, right, was disinformation, why they're now all lobbying Congress to make sure that they don't do anything to help dismantle some of the big tech platforms, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a whole arm together. Hey, TJ, if you want to go ahead and give Dave a call, we can bring him on now, too. He was going to be Zoom, but he texted me and said, could he do a phone call?
Okay. Don't call him, Dave.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
We'll let him talk about it. And then I want to let you guys also know, Representative Stephanie Locke, in cooperation or coordination with Dave Williams, they have introduced a bill at the legislature also that we're going to talk to Stephanie about that would have POLIS in the state apologizing for all the lives and businesses that they destroyed. You know, if Denver can apologize to China for something right, that happened right, in 1880, yeah. You think POLIS, okay, rather than reaching out to Disney, could apologize.
Attacking
to
Disney. Right. Attacking the attack on Disney, right? Right. But now we've got Let's Go Brandon on the line. Dave, Let's Go Brandon Williams. Thanks for joining us.
Brandon.
Hey, Dave, are you there? So, Dave, people's heads. Okay, thank you for your time on this Friday. People's heads are just exploding. And they're accusing you of it being a PR stunt. And if it was, you need to open your own PR agency because you couldn't have planned it any better. You're on the Hill. You're on Gateway Pundit. You're all over the place. Why don't you explain what you're doing and why, and what on earth is Jenna Griswold's, you know, reason for trying to
squash
free speech. This free speech? Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you why Jenna Griswold is doing what she's doing. Other than that, she's just triggered. She's a woke leftist who can't, you know, handle this nickname and what it represents. And so she wants to violate Colorado revised statutes and free speech. And so, you know, we had a decision to make. You know, were we going to follow through and try to put the nickname that we've had for a while now on the ballot, or are we going to back down and let her have her way? And ultimately, I thought it was important to take her to court and let's go ahead and adjudicate this.
Well, you know, and I follow you on Twitter, and you've been Representative Dave Let's Go Brandon Williams for a long time on Twitter. And so what you just wanted to have the ability to put that, because you're the top line and the primary, the right. Republican Senate primary, or the, not Senate, the congressional district primary coming up. And you just wanted to have this in your name on the ballot, right?
Yeah, correct. I've had this, you know, I think I made the change late December, early January, would have been certainly the first week of January. I put the change on my social media. You know, you just said it. It's been on my Twitter, you know, for that long. I've used it regularly, not only on social media, but also at public events. And, you know, Colorado law allows for a nickname. And so we put it on there. And then about 2 weeks or so after I had submitted my paperwork, I got the denial in, and they had claimed that, you know, it's a political slogan. It's not a nickname. And
number one, it's a political ballot, right? I mean, I could see if you were putting it on some non-political thing, maybe, but it's not like the GOP primary isn't political.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I just go back state law. There's no, and this is in the brief we wrote, there's no slogan standard and statute, and for good reason, because the government shouldn't be in the business of regulating the content of anything.
Right.
This is just something that they made up, you know, and they're doing it because at the end of the day, they're offended. They're just offended by what it is and what it represents. And I think ultimately they're trying to put their thumbs on the scale of the fifth CD primary. And, you know, this is just evident. Them denying me is evidence of that.
Well, you were on the George Brocco show, and I got the chance to listen to it on the podcast form, and he didn't seem to be happy with you.
Liberals and rhinos are triggered by this.
Well, I mean, George is pretty fair with me. I don't think he was trying to you know, tip the scales too far one way or the other. But, you know, I told him, and I told others, you know, who are certainly criticizing me for this move, if you really think it's going to hurt me, then let me have it.
Yeah.
Right,
no,
at the end of the day,
let the marketplace decide, the voters. They're going to decide whether or not, you know, this was a good idea or a bad idea. And, you know, for good or for bad, this is a nickname that I adopted back at the beginning of the year. So it's, you know, it's something that I regularly use. Colorado law allows it. What's the controversy really?
Well,
why does she care? Yeah, it seems to me that if Doug Lamborn wanted to go Doug Rhino Lamborn, he should have an absolute right to do that. And there's, I don't know why they, right. I don't know why they right. wouldn't
Doug
allow him that.
Swamp
Rhino, something like that. I mean, it's only be fair if he could get his message out to the people. For the one, where is Doug these days? We were down at the assembly. He was supposed to speak along with the other congressional candidates, and somehow he wasn't there. He's in a fight with Vicky Tompkins and the El Paso County people. What's he up to?
I don't know. I think that's the $1 million question that everyone asks, or have been asking for 16 years. Like, what has Doug Lamborn been doing with his time? And as far as I know, he's been, you know, collecting a paycheck. He's been getting into ethics scandals.
Maybe that's keeping him busy.
Not fighting Joe Biden in a way that, well, one at all, but certainly not in the way that the district demands.
Well, you know, here's what I like about this, Dave. I mean, you just show, and we've been fans of yours for years, but time and time again, and this is what we need in Congress, are people who are willing to fight, right? Because you could have just rolled over and said, all right, Jenna Griswold, you know, I guess you win, I won't do this. But I mean, you're fighting before you're even elected, right? I mean, it's the, as you said, Jenna Griswold, she has no right, no reason, no statutory authority. Of course, that doesn't bother the Democrats, right? It doesn't bother
her. Well, she did check with Planned Parenthood before.
Planned Parenthood said they didn't like it. But I mean, that's what we really need. I'm impressed. And I think it's a good thing that you're like even taking the fight, right? Because I bet you probably had got mixed advice from, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of consultants, Dick Wadhams would probably not advise you. Greg Brophy probably wouldn't tell you to put this on there. No. But not, so one, you've got the guts to go ahead and do that so people know where you stand and they can either vote for you or not. But then not to let the partisan hack, Jenna Griswold, be telling Republicans even more how we can or cannot run our elections.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, I got more publicity, you know, out of this because of what Jenna did, right? I mean, she forced me to sue her office because of the denial, and of course, I didn't send out a press release on it until Marshall with News Channel 9 picked it up and tweeted it out. Oh, hey, Representative Williams is suing. You know, to have his nickname on the ballot. And so it kind of exploded from there, and I had to say something.
Right.
I mean, it just goes to show you they're their own worst enemy, I guess. I mean, if their goal was to shut this down and not let anyone know about it, they failed.
Right.
We were at an event last night, or I was at an event last night, the North Jeffco Tea Party, just packed. It had Greg Lopez there and everybody, and also had Ron Hanks. And everybody in the world, including our good friend Peter Boyles and everyone else, that ad where he shot the copier said Dominion, that's over. It's over. He'll never recover from that. He'll
top
never.
Line.
I mean, yeah, that'll result in the top line for the senatorial one. I mean, I just love how the left, and in particular the establishment Republicans, are humorless. They're the most humorless group of people, always wanting to be taken, quote, seriously. And nobody does, but they always demand it.
Well, and you probably, if you wanted to put Doug non-binary Williams, they probably have been okay with that, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Go ahead.
I think you're right.
What about, I wanted to ask you, and then I wanted to just real quick get into the just what's going on. We have Stephanie Luck coming on at 3:30, but in terms of the lawsuit, there's not a lot of time, right? The ballots I mean, the election is in June.
Yeah, the hearing Tuesday, don't you?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, they must have to print it pretty quick. So, yeah, what's the status of all that?
Correct. So the ballot has to be certified. The names have to be certified by the 29th so that the military ballots specifically can be get printed, but also so the county clerks can start their work because they're the ones that actually administer the election. So we have a hearing on the 26th, Tuesday, starting at 9, and we'll provide evidence. Both sides will get to make their case, and then the judge will, you know, is expected to rule fairly quickly.
Is it in Denver? Where's the hearing?
Yeah, it's in Denver District Court. I can't remember the judge's name, but you know, we think that, you know, we certainly should win on merits, but you know, so often
you will get a Democratic judge because there's nothing but Democratic District Court judges.
Yeah, we'll stay keep us posted on how that goes. Let me real quick turn to the legislature. There's a ton of stuff going on, and they've only got till May 11th. Anything they? I know there's the fentanyl bill, which to me it's like, hello, why is it even a question? It's like, if a gram of fentanyl can kill a billion people, why should it be like? Oh, I have no idea what this fentanyl is doing in my pocket. I mean, what are some other stuff going on at the legislature? And you guys seem to be once again. Again, doing a good job at fighting at least as hard as you can.
Well, no.
Well,
no, the Senate is not
A few of us are doing what we can. Right now we're fighting on the fentanyl bill. And that's a whole, I mean, you'd want a lot of time to discuss and unpack everything that's going on there. But we still have the election bill that's coming up, 153. Collective bargaining for county employees, that's still on the table. There's still about 200 bills, maybe more, that we still have to get through, and we have less than 3 weeks to sort of get through them. And so there's a lot left on the table. I think Democrats are concerned that they're not going to retain majorities, so they're pushing everything they can at the very last moment.
Well, hopefully you guys can ask. I was reading a thing, actually it was an interesting article in the Denver Post, and they were quoting some Republicans who seem to have a sense of humor, saying, yeah, we have a lot of questions. I mean, because you guys can have, maybe you can't control the vote, but you can control how long it takes, at least to a certain extent, the discussions, right? And maybe prevent some of these outrageous bills that are among the 200 from them having even time to address. Can that be a strategy?
Correct. So as the closer we get to the end, the more leverage we have as the minority, because we can hold up the calendar and the clock. So we'll do some of that, but it also requires a unified Republican caucus. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. So
sometimes.
Well, meanwhile, Jenna Griswold.
Kevin Priolo will help out you.
Jenna Griswold's trying to amend her 153 now to say that she and only she can decide what names go on the ballot. That's tough.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Okay, we've got Stephanie with us, so we'll let you. Okay, well, Dave, we'll let you go. Good luck. Please keep us posted, and well, let me, as there things people can do, one other, I guess, point there, because here again, you're having to spend money from the campaign to fight the legal fight, right,
of something to Scott Gessler.
which should not even be an issue. That shouldn't be money you have to spend. How can people help out and get information about your campaign?
Sure. People can help out by visiting my website, daveforcolorado.com. That's daveforcolorado.com. There's a big donate button. Help us fund this lawsuit for sure. But more importantly, help us win in June. I mean, regardless of what happens next week, we're going to win. And we need everyone to help us to make sure that comes about.
Yeah. If you get a fundraiser, let us know and we'll promote it and try to get folks there.
Absolutely.
All right, Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Have a good Friday. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. That's Dave. Let's go, Brandon Williams. I mean, that's just crazy.
That is great. Now we got Stephanie. Let's go, Brandon. No.
Yes.
We got Stephanie Luck with us. She's the latest and greatest in the House.
House District 47, Pueblo, Fremont County.
She upset an incumbent, notwithstanding the fact that Greg Brophy and Mark Hillman and all the usual traitors raise money for her opponents. So she's a hero to a lot of people. So welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Hey, we appreciate it. Hey, real quick, before we get to your question, I want to let folks know, Priscilla Ron, and thank you for Priscilla, just posted, she was our first guest talking about the event. If you're on the chat section of the Zoom, she posted the conference information there. So anybody who wants to look at that can go get it. So Stephanie, I saw this, you know, I was reading a thing about Denver, the city of Denver recently, in spite of all the issues going on in Denver, they don't have any problems there. So they took the time out to discuss the highly relevant apology to China for something that happened in 1880. But I see you guys, you and Representative Williams and others, are pushing for the state of Colorado and POLIS to apologize for destroying all of our lives and businesses during the lockdown. Great idea. Why don't you explain it?
Yes. So as you know, more and more studies are coming out to prove what we already knew by experience, which is that the policies that were used in response to COVID, as good intentioned as they may have been, actually caused more harm than the virus itself. And in comparison to other states that didn't lock down and didn't take on a lot of these policies, we don't have a markedly different mortality rate. And so the very purpose for a lot of these policies didn't even come to fruition. There was no fruit born. In fact, all we really see is devastation. We see it with those who weren't able to say goodbye to their loved ones in hospital or in nursing homes. We see it for those who have increased mental health problems or suicidal ideations, or unfortunately may even have taken their lives. We see it with the loss of businesses. People spend decades building up their business, building up a family legacy, only to see it devastated in a few short months. And that's just a small list of the consequences that these policies have taken. And so just in talking with people in my district and beyond, there are many who are hurting. There are many who are fighting temptations of bitterness and unforgiveness and just trying to process through grief and hurt. And I think it's important for the state as leaders, I think it's important that we take responsibility for decisions we made and to name and to acknowledge that these people are suffering as a result of decisions made, and to apologize to them, seek their forgiveness, and commit to learning from this experience and not going down that road if ever this opportunity were to arise again. I don't want to put on future generations the responsibility that we ourselves should be taking right now. And like you say, you know, we see apologies given 50, 100, 200 or more plus years later. And these are the people right now who need to know that we know their story and we want to hear their story. We acknowledge their pain and we want to apologize. I just think it's the right thing to do. You know,
What might be great is if Governor Polis, while he's inviting Disney. To free state of Colorado, should know that our theme parks were all shut down. If they'd been in Colorado, they would have been shut down. While in Florida, they're allowed to stay open. And of course, we have the most oppressive regulations and we're raising taxes every chance we get. For Polis to say, yeah, come to Colorado. Yeah, look what you'd get if you came to Colorado. It'd be one pathetic thing. And so for Polis to say, yeah, boy, I'd much rather be in high tax Colorado.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he should be thinking about apologizing to the businesses he destroyed here rather than trying to use
Disney.
Well, and you know, I do think in politics, it's counter to all wise and sage advice to acknowledge faults. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are called to govern and to govern well. And in my view, governing well means that we take responsibility for those things that we did wrong. And I think that there's enough evidence to show that those policies just weren't the right course. And I don't think that we lose anything. In fact, I think we gain a great deal as a state if we're just humble and confess that and provide a pathway for healing for the people that we're here to serve.
You know, we had a guy on from the Independence Institute, and I apologize because I can't think of his name right offhand, but he did a great study and showed that while the richest organizations and individuals and companies in Colorado grew their wealth by 63% during the pandemic and the lockdowns. There are 43% fewer small businesses in Colorado. I know we own a local newspaper that affects us direct. I mean, half of our potential clients are just gone. I mean, we saw and we talked to at the time businesses, you know, restaurants that were being closed down, their liquor, their assets seized by the health department. I mean, we saw their incredible pain. I mean, we talked to people who are still suffering. And you know, you're right. The Democrats are the one who kind of launched this apology, you know,
tour.
Exactly. And there is something to that. You should take responsibility if you've done something.
Well, not for a revolt in Peking. Well, in 1880.
No, exactly. I mean, that's like useless and worthless, right? No one is around who is involved. No one is around who's going to benefit from that. It's just virtue signaling. But I think you're right, Stephanie, this proposal to have the state of Colorado apologize. I mean, there are people that would probably benefit, at least to hear, hey, I'm sorry.
All right, maybe it'd be an example of why not to do it again.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I've ran this idea by a lot of people because I wanted the tone to be right. I wanted the heart to come through. And mm-hmm. I had people read the resolution and instantly choke up when they got to that section where it says, we apologize, please forgive us. And I think, you know, when I talk to them, for instance, one lady, she lost her husband in a hospital. She wanted him to get early treatment medication, things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, that she could not get him access to because of government policy. He passed away, and she was not allowed to visit him when he passed away because of government policy. And so she is suffering from, in some ways, survivor's guilt, I would say, and trying to say, what could I have done different? How could I have advocated better for my husband? How could I have done this differently so that this man that I've been married to for 3, 4, 5 decades, you know, wasn't lost? And for her to hear us say, you know what, it wasn't on you. That responsibility wasn't on you. It was on us. And we made the wrong choices. We made the wrong calls. And we're sorry for, in essence, you know, putting you in that position and seeing the loss of your loved one. We have to take responsibility. And until we're able to take responsibility for anything, how do we instill trust in people?
Right.
How do we instill trust in our ability to lead? You know, as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine that as a parent, there are those times when you lose your temper and you yell or you over-discipline. You go back to your child, presumably, if you're a good parent, you say, hey, you know, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I, you know, this wasn't good behavior on your part, but it also wasn't a right response on mine. That's the kind of culture I want to live in. I want to live in a culture where people can say, I was wrong and please forgive me, and then move on and move forward. I don't want to live in the place where people double down and ignore the hurting of others.
Well, I'm sure you have no Democratic co-sponsors.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do you have any? Yeah, how much pushback have you gotten from your Republican colleagues?
I haven't gotten any pushback whatsoever at this point. I think people are hoping that it will die on the calendar, won't be heard in committee, and will just simply go ignored. Is kind of what I anticipate. But I don't know. I'm speaking out of turn actually because I haven't spoken to many of them about this. But at the end of the day,
Stephanie, I think it's really what really comes across in talking to you is the heart of what you're trying to accomplish here. And I think that's important. But I also think it's important that people go on the record. I mean, I want to see the Democrats, because I know, and you're being gracious saying we, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't think there was any you and Dave Williams in the Republican caucus, we, in what was done to the state of Colorado. It was all Polis and the Democrats. And I won't make you say that. I'll say that. But you know what? They should have to go on the record and say, no, screw you, Coloradans, we're not going to apologize for destroying your lives and keeping you from your loved ones at the most important times of your life. They should have to go on record and vote against apologize to the people while they apologize to the Chinese, you know?
Well, I will add one sort of caveat to that. While I would not have pushed any of the green buttons to advance those policies or sign any of those orders, I also can say that I didn't stand up in the well every single day and demand last session that certain things be done, right? I there could have been additional fight that I put out and that my Republican colleagues put out to say this all needs to change. And so I do believe that we have culpability as well. And I don't, you know, I don't, I don't have any issue with confessing that and just simply saying, you know, to the people of Colorado, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't fight more and I didn't bring your stories more often up and fight because you all were losing everything. And no, I wasn't in the legislature in 2020 when all of this was really being worked out, but there was stuff last year and even stuff this year. And so we do need a change, of course, and all of us have a degree of responsibility in it.
Talk to me a little bit then about, given that going forward, I mean, I hear where you're coming from. Are there other people you think too, who maybe were like, okay, now we really see what happens if we just kind of, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve and we don't say anything. I think we all learned a lot through this whole thing. I mean, what do you think some of the legislators, I mean, do you think things would be different next time? Hopefully there will never be a next time.
The things you might be able to do, well, you can't do it because you're not in the majority, would be limit the power of the governor to just endlessly temporary emergency powers goes into years. And that's certainly never what was intended, but I guess that's not likely to change.
Well, and I will say, I did run that bill last session to limit his authority. And, you know, I ran a bill on early treatment for COVID so that we could see people healed more quickly and avoid death, but both of those bills died. And I ran the second one twice, one this year and one last year. So, I mean, there is a lot that can be done. There are a lot of guardrails that can be placed, but that's part of the purpose of this resolution, to say, what did we learn here? And how can we apply the lessons learned in order to ensure that these things don't happen again? And that goes back really to our core principles. One of the reasons that our principles are so important is because they have stood the test of time. And so we have to be able to apply our conservative, you know, Western tradition, Judeo-Christian principles in all of these types of novel situations, because they're the kinds of principles that lead to good decision making. And most of them were abandoned during this time of COVID.
And on purpose. All right. Well, Stephanie, thank you. I mean, you're right. You think probably the strategy will be like, oh, we run out of time, Stephanie. Try again in 200 years.
Yeah.
But hey, thank you for pushing
it. Good job, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. And we appreciate your time on this Friday as well.
Take care.
I appreciate that. And just really quickly, we do have a survey if people want to fill it out. It should be up in committee, hopefully. And if people want to come and share their stories, that would be wonderful so that we really can put names and faces to these policies and the consequences of these policies. And so we can send that information to you if you want to send it out or put it on whatever kind of format you guys have.
Okay, we'll put it on the website.
Yeah, you've got that.
Want these stories to be told.
Yeah, well, and actually, just so you know, they asked about our website. I don't have the technical ability to do that. But if you send it to me, we can get it sent out and we can put it on our social media. Because I think you're right. The word needs to get out because the Democrats aren't going to let this go. But the people need to know that at least, you know, you guys were willing to say, hey, we as a government, state government of Colorado,
we all share somewhat of the blame.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, thank you. Send me that and people can fill that out. Okay.
Take care, Stephanie.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Right. You too. Thanks. Yeah, we'll put that out. They had asked me about putting it on our website, and I was like, I would probably blow up the internet if I tried to do that.
We can send it to people.
Yeah, we can put it on social media. Okay, so for the last 10 minutes, I want to go back to, you know, there's so much going on right now. You know, it's been a very bad, horrible week, yet another one, you know, for Democrats. Netflix, all the wokes, you know, Disney down, Netflix down, Spotify canceling the Obamas, no matter how the Obamas tried to spin it, CNN Plus, you know, and they're all whining. I would say this, I've seen a lot of reporters in Denver who I kind of know and like, so I refrain from doing this on Twitter. So I'll do it on our podcast saying, don't be snarky about all the people at CNN Plus losing their jobs. I'm like, did any of you say that about the oil and gas industry? Did any of you say that about people losing their jobs because they didn't want to take a vaccine? No, it's only one that's like your friends. I mean, everybody else you want to destroy and crush. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm sorry.
Chris Wallace.
I don't feel sorry. Well, I feel sorry for them, but I'm not going to refrain from saying
the smaller people, not Chris Wallace and Brian Stelter and all those other ugly.
Stephen saying if I blow up the internet, it's not sure it's a bad thing. Maybe right, Stephen, I'll go try to do that. If the internet goes down tonight, you know I was trying to post that survey.
What I want to talk about for a second is the fact that We've got June 28th we've got coming up, and we have two parallel sort of contests going on. One is who's going to get on the statewide ballot for Republicans in the statewide office, Attorney General, Treasurer, Secretary of State, Governor, Senator. That's one set, none of which have a good chance of winning. General election. But it's still worth getting grassroots people in each and every one of those ones. But the other one is in these congressional districts. Yeah. And that's really exciting. I mean, we've got, and I may mix up the districts, but we got the 4th district, which I think is Ken Buck against Bob Lewis. And we're all cheering for Bob Lewis. And then we've got the 5th, which is
Dave Williams
versus Doug Lamborn. So we're all rooting for Dave Williams. And then we've got the 7th, in which we have
Eric Odlin and
Laura Armour, and she's facing high odds, but we're wishing her the best. And then the 8th, and we've got Lori Sane versus probably Barbara Kirkmeyer and others. I'm going to a fundraiser tonight for Lori Sane, which is exciting.
John Lott Jr. is going to be there, right?
John Lott Jr.
We've had him on our show, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that says a lot that she's able to be pulling in this early in the race some heavy hitters like that. But I think you're right. I mean, guys, imagine how much fun it will be. So, you know, in spite of Kevin McCarthy trying to say that Lauren Boebert's Twitter account should be closed, which he denies, we'll wait till the audio comes out on that. Right. But, you know, Lauren Boebert, can you imagine Lauren Boebert, Dave Williams, Lori Sane in Congress? Mm-hmm. I mean, and Ken Buck, I don't know what will happen there. But
I can tell you, he lost badly in his congressional assembly, which was shocking. I mean, the guy came in, nomination for the floor, and he doubled the vote for Ken Buck. So at least among the cognoscente, Ken Buck's in a lot of trouble, and he deserves to be. Constantly telling everybody that, you know, hey, this is the greatest electoral system ever. I mean, just a tool for the left.
And here's the thing, you know, looking at the hearing today. So there's a hearing going on, and we told you guys this was going to happen a couple of months ago, that Mark Elias, the Clinton evil, he's like the sort of Soros mini-me kind of guy, right? And he's an election anti-integrity guy, I guess would be election fixer. And that's his job, right? That's his job. So
criminally his job.
Well, yeah. But you know, he had talked about, that's why they talk and they keep pushing the January 6th thing with the insurrection. They know it was a Fedsurrection, as Marjorie Taylor Greene keeps calling it. But they want to be able to use that, to use the Constitution and say that they can't be on the ballot. Anybody who said anything not negative about January 6th can't be on the ballot.
I love is the story you told me, that in the courtroom they said, well, you're using 1776, if you use that it means revolution and insurrection and everything else. And Marjorie Taylor Greene pointed out
that the plaid, giant plaid behind seal. The judge, the seal, you know, that said 1776. And even the judge left. But I mean, you've got Hershey's, I mean, but that's something they're going to try to do. So there's a hearing going on because the Democrats are trying to keep her off the ballot. And they're going to try to keep Ron Hanks, you know, off the ballot too. I mean, that's one of the tactics. They tried to keep some people in Arizona off the ballot, claiming they were insurrectionists and therefore not qualified to run for office. And the judge threw it out and said, you know, you don't have any standards.
Well, they don't care. It's just a way of harassing Republican candidates and having to use up their money rather than going against Democrats. But, and Mark Elias really is. He's clever. Well, he may be too clever, because I think a lot of people think there's one person that should be snarled in the
Durham investigation, it's
Mark Elias.
But what I find good, though, is, and this is where Republicans are starting to find their, you know, male parts, I guess I would say. And I can't use what they're teaching kids in school. Mm-hmm. I can't say that. But because, you know, you've got Dave Williams saying, let's go, Brandon. You've got Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, I'm not backing down. 1776 is not a an insurrectionist term. You've got Lauren Boebert, who's not backing down. You have all these slimy, sleazy, I'm sorry, but Kevin McCarthy, Trump better resign people out there, because they're so afraid. And all these other people in the media too, who are so afraid that the Twitter bots are going to come after them, that they cower. And you've got all these other people saying, no, I'm not cowering. Put Dave, let's go, Brandon. You know, and if people don't like it, then they don't have to vote for me. I mean, I think the courage of some of the Republicans coming up now, and here in Colorado too, Tina Peters, Ron Hanks, you know, God bless him for doing the Dominion voting machine thing. I mean, it was funny, if nothing else, you know. But
no, it made his campaign.
They're not backing down, right? They're saying, you know, no, we're not going to cower anymore because we're seeing what the Democrats and their policies are doing to the country. I mean, yeah, it cost me, I drive like an 8-year-old Subaru. It cost me $60. It used to cost me $30. It's like,
no, you're not going to eat today, Rev.
Yeah, yeah.
Sandra want to know, is Mark Elias with Perkins Coie?
He was.
He was, and then he resigned once the excrement hit the fan.
Right.
He's no longer, he's with another firm.
And this,
although he's in charge of Black Lives Matter.
But go figure out that.
Yeah, okay.
The funny there, this is from Stephen. Don't be surprised if they try to get Boebert thrown off the ballot. Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, this is something they're going to do every place they can just to challenge it. And like you said, if nothing else, just kind of like Jenna Griswold, she has absolutely no basis for telling Dave Williams that can't be, because I didn't know this, but the state law says you could put that on, right? It says it. It doesn't say that the Secretary of State gets to decide that it's inappropriate or anything like that, right?
It goes before a Democratic judge. So.
Well, but what I mean, though, is people are pushing back. But the Democrats' tactics, though, is to fight at every turn. So it costs money.
And that's what we love, Ron DeSantis. I mean, know, the Jenna Ellis's can say he shouldn't have done it. And it just shows you how.
Well, it's like, guys, I mean, you need to wake up. The Democrats aren't, you know, we're sticking to our principles. To me, it's like if you're in a war and you're like, well, you know, we're sticking to our principles.
We don't like to shoot people.
So we are going to fight during cocktail hour. I mean, give me a break. You know, it's like you're going to lose if you stick to that, because the Democrats, I'm not saying you have to do things that are illegal or immoral, but the Democrats have no
help.
But yeah, really. If anyone out there, though, has a lot of money, no, I'm kidding. Not really, actually, though. But I think, though, there's so much going on with the Republican Party, even at certain levels here in Colorado, too.
Oh, yeah, really true. Absolutely true. All right. Well, Party Friday's over. We want to thank everybody for coming on. Priscilla Rahm.
Dave Williams.
Dave, and you always have to use now his nickname.
Dave, let's go, Brandon Williams.
Stephanie Locke and everybody who put in comments and has been part of the program. Thank you all.
Yeah, you can listen to us at all our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. Everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see you Monday.
Take care.